We've been doing this basic series for the last few weeks, and we're almost done. We're two more weeks on it, today and next Sunday. And so if you've been around, you've kind of caught the gist of it. If you're new today or visiting, let me just kind of briefly summarize what we've been talking about. We've been talking about once you're a believer, if you believe in Jesus, if you've come to know him as your Lord and Savior, and you want to be part of his kingdom, well, there's a few basic things that all believers should be doing. The main passage we've been talking about, Acts chapter 2, the church was just getting formed in Acts chapter 2, and it says 3,000 people came to know Jesus on one day. And then they said, what do we do now that we know Jesus? What do we do? And Acts chapter 2 at the very end, it gives a little list of things that these brand new Christians were doing, the basic things that they were doing. And that's a lot of these on this list. And we've been talking about believing everything that Jesus says about us is true. Adoration is just worshiping him. You can do that through singing. You can do that through prayer. There's a whole variety of ways that we can worship and adore the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Through study, and primarily the study of Scripture, although definitely study other things as well, but primarily study of Scripture, reading it, memorizing it, doing all those things. Intercession, which is prayer, we talked about. Intercession is just a very intensified, specific kind of prayer where you would actually pray for others. And so we talked about that. And then last week, we talked about community, which is kind of the one that holds all these other ones together. That as a body of Christ, as a body of believers, we gather together and we fellowship with one another. And through that fellowship, these other sort of spiritual devotions kind of fall into place. And today, we're going to talk about the last one. Actually, today and next week, it's kind of too big for one week, so we got 2 weeks on this one. We're going to be talking about stewardship. And real basic definition of stewardship would be, generally speaking, the word steward means a person that's been given something that wasn't necessarily theirs. They've been given something to manage. And then they carefully and faithfully manage what they've been given. So, and you can apply that to any sort of area of life, but as believers, as Christians, think about it for a minute. As stewards, we have been, by God, given several things that we get to manage carefully and faithfully. We manage these things for God. So you guys tell me, what are some things that God has given us to be stewards of? What are some things that he's given us to manage? What about over here in this section? You guys, give me one. What's one thing that God's given us to manage? What are we stewards of?
Family.
Family. Yeah, good. Family. Okay, I heard something else.
Money.
Yeah, money is one for sure.
Ourselves.
Ooh, philosophical. The earth. Yeah. What? Time. Yes, time. Spiritual gifts. Yeah, what else? Your job. Job, yeah. Job, your work. Very important.
Fruit of the Spirit.
Yeah, whoops, excuse me. Well, anybody over here, you got the quiet section. Your talents. What do you mean? Like, just your abilities. Yeah, okay, I couldn't, yeah, talents, right. Okay, good. Anything else? Yeah, those are good. I can't hear you.
Tongues,
what we speak. Yeah, exactly. Sorry, I just getting old. What, the word? The word of God, is that what you mean? Or words we speak? Word of God. Yeah. Our hearts. And we could go on and on and on. And as believers, God's given us all these things, and he expects us to manage them faithfully and carefully. That's what to be a steward means. Now listen, We're going to talk about just a few of those things, and I think I heard them, but three that we want to focus on this week and next week. And here they are: spiritual gifts, time, and money are the three that we're going to talk about. Today, we're going to talk about spiritual gifts. And then next week, we're going to talk about time and money and how we can be good stewards in with those three things in particularly. So today, we're going to talk about how we can serve and be good stewards of what he's given us, spiritual gifts and serving in the in God's kingdom. Now listen, Sunday, December 7th, 1941. What happened on that day? Pearl Harbor, you guys. That's a date that kind of sticks in our head from American history. That's the day that Pearl Harbor was attacked and much of the U.S. fleet was destroyed on that day. Many, many lives were lost on that day. But it was also a good day, if I can say it like that, even though all the tragedy happened like that. It was also the day that that thrust the United States into World War II. Prior to that, the United States, America, was just sort of unconcerned a country trying to stay out of the war. And that event changed all that, and so the country went from being unconcerned with being fully engaged in the war with an intent on winning it. The American spirit thrust to the front, right? And nobody's going to do that to us. We're going to go win this war now. And that's really what happened. That was really the turning point in World War II in a lot of ways. A lot of people think that. Now, Monday morning, because that happened Sunday, right? Monday morning, tens of thousands of men went to enlist in the army. Prior to that point, they just didn't care, kind of unconcerned. Prior to that, tens of thousands of guys went. Now, teenagers and middle-aged men alike, they just all went and flocked down. They lied about their age. They lied about their physical condition in order to get into one of the armed forces so that they could go fight World War II. Grown men were actually seen weeping when they were turned away from being able to fight from this. What a contrast to 25 years later. Another war, another time where America needed people to serve in the armed forces and for the Vietnam War, and yet nobody went to sign up to fight in that war. The war wasn't very popular. It was a different time in history, and so almost nobody volunteered, and so almost everybody that fought in the Vietnam War were drafted in to fight. And I was thinking about this: when it comes to serving in God's kingdom, a lot of people are either take the World War II approach or they take the Vietnam approach. Either they're very eager to serve. I am going to serve in God's kingdom, very eager, regardless of my age, regardless of the personal cost that it might be to me, of my time and effort. I am going to go serve. I'm going to volunteer to serve God because my heart is compelling me to do it. I think it's important, so I'm going to go do it. There's that model. And then there's the other side of that where there's some people, some believers that will avoid serving at all costs. They don't look for ways to serve. Leaders have to sort of draft them into service. And so when they do come, they come sort of reluctantly. I've seen them both. In the years I've been a pastor, I've seen both of these kind of things. Let me ask you a question. Which of these two models of serving, the World War II model and the Vietnam War model, which of these two sounds more like the kind of way that Jesus served? Would you guys agree with that? Kind of sounds like more like the World War II model. He served willingly, eagerly. And let me ask you another question. Which of these two models sounds more like the way that you serve? Yeah. Listen, every believer who is part of God's kingdom, who is a believer, true believer, Christian, believes in Jesus, part of God's kingdom, every believer is called to serve in some capacity in the church, in God's kingdom. It doesn't mean just in a local church, but in the greater kingdom of God. Why? Because we've all been gifted. That's what we're going to be talking about today. We've all been gifted to serve, and we should all be using our gifts to serve God and to serve Him eagerly, willingly, as a good steward with what God has given us. So it's not a question of, am I gifted or should I serve? But it's a question of how am I gifted and how can I serve Him willingly and eagerly? And that's what I want to talk about today. I want to talk about three simple basic reasons of why all believers should be serving in the kingdom of God. And as we go along, we're going to talk about all the variety and different ways that we can serve. Sometimes people think, well, serving is just, and you have a kind of a preconceived notion of what it's like in your life. But we're going to kind of break down some of those barriers, break down some of those stereotypes, and we're going to allow the Holy Spirit to kind of pin us down a little bit today and to find out where we're at in our hearts when it comes to serving Him and His kingdom. And so I know I just prayed. I want to pray again because I think this is important, and I'm kind of nervous, and so I'm going to pray about this. Father, I just thank You this morning for Your word. Thank You for the chance to be here together. I thank You for the Holy Spirit who teaches us. I pray that, Holy Spirit, You will teach us this morning. I don't want it to be my teaching today. I want it to be Your teaching today. And so I submit to You and to Your authority in our lives this morning. Be with us. Fill us with wisdom and understanding and compassion and willingness to serve and be good stewards of what You've given to us. Amen. Okay, three reasons, if you want to take some notes, why every believer should be serving. Number one, serving makes us more like Jesus. Okay, serving makes us more like Jesus. The goal, okay, everything we've been talking about, not just this series, but the one before it and the one before that, the last three preaching series we've been talking about, this has been our ultimate goal, was to realize who Jesus is so that we could become more like Him. And I think most of you all would agree with that. Like, that would be your desire. You want to be more like Jesus, and that's the goal of spiritual growth. That's why we do these things, right? That's why we read the Bible. That's why we pray and worship and come to church. And that's why we do all these things, is so that we can become more like Jesus. And the area of serving is the same thing. We often talk about we want to become more like Jesus in His character. And like, we want to love more like Jesus did, and we want to be kind like Jesus was, and forgiving. And that's right and good, and we should be that way. But we also want to be like Jesus in the way He served and in the way He worked. Listen to this verse. I have it here in my notes. Mark chapter 10, verse 45. This is Jesus' words. He says, "For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give His life as a ransom for many." In Jesus' own words, He came to serve. You know, the night before that Jesus went to the cross, the night before He was crucified, Jesus was met one last time with His disciples. They were in this upper room. And at one point in the night, it says Jesus stripped down into His most basic clothes, and He got down on His knees, and He began to wash His disciples' feet. And if you can't understand the impact of what Jesus was doing here, just from a physical point of view, filthy feet, right? Walking around in sandals on dirt all day. Think about that. But just the fact that God of the entire universe, the one who created everything with the word of his mouth, knelt down naked before his disciples and washed their feet. And he said this. He said this to his disciples. He says, "For who is greater, the one at the table or the one serving?" He asked kind of a question, right? And then he answered it. He says, "Isn't it the one at the table? That's the one that's greater, right?" But then, listen to the, you guys know the final statement of Jesus here? It's amazing. Luke chapter 22, verse 27, he says, "But I am among you as the one who serves." Who's greater? Jesus said, "Who's greater?" Well, I'm greater, yet I'm the one who serves. Serving characterized Jesus' life. Although he was God, he was also the most humble, servant-hearted human person that ever lived. Jesus' willingness to do even the lowliest form of service knew no limits. He served all sorts of people. If you read through the four Gospels, you'll catch a clear vision of this. He served, here's a few of the people Jesus served while on earth. He served the rich and dishonest tax collectors. He served the poor and lowly beggars. He served the unloved prostitutes, the unwanted lepers, the inconvenient children, and even the inconsistent disciples like you and me. As Jesus served, he not only served people, but in John chapter 17, it says he's serving his Father as well. Everything that Jesus did was for the Father. He says he came to do the work of his Father. So if we're going to be like Jesus, we not only need to become like him in our character, but we need to become like him in our service and in the work he's given us to do. Jesus did not come just to forgive sin, although that's super important, amen. But he also came to make us holy as people. He didn't just die so that we would be saved and then unchanged. Jesus' plan was always for his people to become conformed to his image, to be more like him. And Jesus was a person who served. So should we be those types of people. Let me ask you a question. If Jesus came to our church, right? If he was like a regular attender of Pastor Abel's Bible Church, he just came and, you know, he was here and he was just a person in our church, what kind of person do you think Jesus would be? Would he be the kind of person that would just kind of simply attend church on Sunday, maybe give a little money when it was convenient, and then kind of go home and do the rest of his week? Or would he be the kind of person that was a servant in this church? Look for opportunities to serve. Now, listen, you know the answer to that question. That was one of those rhetorical, pastoral questions that I asked. You guys already know the answer to that. So if we want to be more like Jesus, which I think we'd all say that we do, when we need to find places to serve. And if we want to serve like Jesus served, then we're going to be motivated not by anything we can get, not even motivated by guilt or, oh, I better do it because there's a need, none of that kind of stuff. We will be motivated by humility, and we will be motivated by love, just like Jesus. So the first reason why we should all be serving is that it makes us more like Jesus. Hope you got that part. That's been a hard thing for me to learn this week, so hope you guys are tracking with that. Number two, serving brings glory to God. Not only does serving make us more like Jesus, serving brings glory to God. I want to read a passage for you guys in 1 Peter chapter 4. It's the one that's up there on the slide. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10. It says, based on the gifts each one has received, use it to serve others as good managers of the varied grace of God. If anyone speaks, it should be as one who speaks God's words. If anyone serves, it should be from the strength God provides, so that God may be glorified through Jesus Christ in everything. To him belong the glory and the power forever and ever. Amen. Now, I think as Christians, as believers, I think one of the main ways in which God has wired us up internally in our hearts and minds is really to bring him glory. I think if we're honest, we just at the end of our lives, we just want to stand before him and hear him say, well done, good and faithful servants. That would bring us joy like nothing we'd ever experience on earth. And one of the ways, according to this passage, that we can bring God glory is by serving him and serving him in his kingdom and in his church. If we are believers, the Holy Spirit has given each one of us at least one spiritual gift, okay? Probably more. Probably he's given us more than one, but he's given us at least one. And according to this passage that we just read, spiritual gifts can be broken up into two very general categories: speaking gifts and serving gifts. And don't mistake that for only the serving gifts can serve God. No, the speaking gifts serve God as well, but let me explain what I mean. So if you have a speaking gift, it might be, some of the examples, it might be like this: teaching, evangelism, prophecy, or prayer, to name a few. These might be some of the speaking gifts that we could be talking about. If you have a quote-unquote serving gift, it might be something like using that gift to heal, or to actually, there's actually a spiritual gift called service. There's one called hospitality, just inviting people into your home, being generous. Giving, and we'll talk about this a little bit more next week, you know, just giving of yourself, giving of your resources for the kingdom. So any service, whether it's speaking or physically serving, either of those in the kingdom of God, so let me just list a whole bunch. Teaching, showing mercy, serving food, playing with the kids. That's a big one, by the way. Just put in a little plug for my wife. Every Saturday, my wife, Stacy, who oversees the children's ministries, every Saturday, she sits with a clipboard and her phone trying to figure out how she's going to staff Sunday morning kids over there. We have three kids classes, not counting the nursery. There's four with the nursery. And each class requires two adults minimum to be in with the kids for safety reasons. We value safety first with our kids. And so for that, we want a teacher and we want a helper. And then we often have a third person, sometimes a teenager, sometimes an adult, just be helping and assisting with the kids. And when everybody's back from summer vacation and back here on a Sunday morning, there potentially could be over 50 kids, 50 kids in our kids' ministry on a Sunday morning. And we don't often all show up at the same time, but if they did, we'd be in trouble, right? That'd be a good problem to have. And so, like, playing with the kids, like, you know, that's a great way to serve in the church, and very much needed. Changing baby diapers. It's not you know, necessarily my favorite thing to do, but God may be calling you to do that. I kind of, like, scratched that one out. Forget I said that. Making coffee, singing on a worship team, cleaning up after an event, prayer, healing, giving, sharing. Well, here's a good one: sharing the gospel or sharing your lunch with somebody who needs it, or both. So whether you're up front and visible, or whether you're behind the scenes, or whether you're somewhere in between, whatever you do, however you serve, however you're gifted, will bring glory to God. So I want to break down some of the stereotypes of serving in the church can be a variety of things. And you saw the list there, and that's just starting the list. The only way that God doesn't receive glory is what? If you're not doing anything. That's what this verse said. We use our gifts to serve God and to bring Him glory. So if we're not serving, we're not bringing Him glory in our when we should be with our gifts. God has assigned every believer a function within the body of Christ. Everybody's been given a place to serve. You guys may have heard of a famous missionary called William Carey. I don't know if you've heard of him, but he's often been called the father of modern missions. He was the guy who was called to India, and during his ministry in India, he translated part or the whole of scripture into at least 40 different languages, 40 different dialects. Parts or whole of scripture into 40 different languages. Countless people were saved and their lives were changed because of this guy, William Carey, and all the years he spent in India. So you may or may not have heard of his name, William Carey, but you've probably never heard of his sister. In fact, I don't even know her name. History doesn't even really record her name. Everything I've ever read about her, she's always only known as William Carey's sister. How about that? You like that? William Carey's sister. She was bedridden and nearly paralyzed her entire life. And so while William Carey was ministering for all those years in India, his sister was laying in a bed in London, England, back home. And you know what she was doing? Praying. She was praying week after week, month after month, year after year. She prayed for all the details and the problems and the struggles that with her brother's work. I was reading about this week, and the little article I was reading asks a very fun question. I thought it was fun, at least. And here it is. It says, to whose account will God credit the victories won through the remarkable missionary efforts of William Carey? To him or to his unnamed sister who sat in a bed and prayed? I don't know the answer to that question, but I think it's at least a combination of both, right? That whether or not you're out in a public, very public, famous, immortalized sort of position like William Carey, or whether you're laying in a bed, can't move, but you can pray, and nobody even knows your name type of position, whatever end of that spectrum you're on, if you're doing it to serve God and His kingdom, He's going to receive the glory, and you're going to stand before Him someday, and God's going to look at William Carey's sister, who's now standing upright and running around with her brand new body, and He's going to go, well done. And he's going to know her name, even though we don't. He's not going to call her William Carey's sister. He's going to call her name. And He's going to receive glory because of her life. Point is this, that the Holy Spirit assigns every one of us, every believer, an important function in the body of Christ, and we need to use our gift to serve Him, and that's That's number three here. If you're taking notes, serving makes us more like Jesus, and serving brings glory to God. And then the third reason why we should be serving is because all believers are gifted to serve. We're all gifted to serve. And I already mentioned that a minute ago. I wanted to go over to a fairly famous passage you may have heard before. It's in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and I just want to read a few verses for us today. 1 Corinthians 12, I'm going to read in verse 4. God has assigned every believer a function in the body of Christ, and he's gifted all of us to fulfill that function. Look at 1 Corinthians 12, verse 4. Let's read a few verses. Now there are different gifts, but the same Spirit. There are different ministries, but the same Lord. There are different activities, but the same God activates each gift in each person. A demonstration of the Spirit is given to each person to produce what is beneficial. And then he goes on and he lists several of the ways we serve, several of the spiritual gifts in the next few verses. But then if you look at verse 11, but one and the same Spirit is active in all of these, all of the spiritual gifts he's just listed. And he's distributing to each person as he wills. Verse 12, for as the body is one and has many parts, and all the parts of that body, though many, we are all one body. And so also is Christ. God, the Holy Spirit, has given at least one spiritual gift to every single believer. Now, you may not know what it is. You may just be beginning to discover what your gift is. But if you believe in Jesus, you have been given at least one gift, and I would say probably more than that. And when and only when each individual uses their gift does the body of Christ function properly. A couple years ago, I was out running an errand. It was in the summer, hot like it has been, and I was kind of out running errands, and I went to the store, and I'm like, oh, I saw, I was kind of, had a little craving for some candy. I'm walking down the candy aisle, and I walked by, remember these, Milk Duds? Come on, chocolate and caramel, right? Who doesn't love that? I was like, oh, I could eat me some Milk Duds right now, so I picked up a box and paid for it and went out to the car, and I was kind of, you know, snacking on a few. You know how Milk Duds are, right? You can only get one, and then it, like, takes you, like, 15 minutes to eat that one, and, oh, I suck in my, and I was eating up. So you can't eat them fast, right, is the point. And I was just eating a few, and so then I left the box sitting on the seat of my car, and I had a few more errands to run, and it's, like, 100 degrees in the summer, and so I run kind of a couple of other errands and came back in the car, and I go, oh, I'm going to get me another Milk Dud. And little did I know that it was no longer a Milk Duds, but it was a Milk Dud. It was just a dud. It was just one. And I thought, you know, that's, I could still eat that, right? I mean, that's delicious. That even maybe looks better to me. It's like taking a bite. And so I recreated this here this morning because I think this is exactly what we've been talking about. Take a look at this. You can kind of still see, right, the little Milk Duds, right? But what happened? The sun, it melded them all together into one kind of, and you can see it on the front. When you turn it on the back, look at that. I don't know if you can see that. It's just like a flat surface where they were like stuck to the box. And I thought, wow, that is a great illustration of the body of Christ, right? We're all individual little Milk Duds. And then when the sun, you see what I did right there? Yeah, I know. It's getting thick in here now. When the sun melded us all together into one body, and he formed one Milk Dud. That's the only time I could ever call us duds, right, and get away with it, but I think it's, all right, whatever. I think it was a good illustration. You guys can, you guys are all going to go out and buy some now. You're hungry. I think it's important, though, in all reality, it's important for us to understand this, because there's so many Christians, there's so many believers, and I'm not just saying us here right now this morning, but I think there's so many Christians out there that think they don't have a gift. They say, I don't have anything to offer Jesus. Like, who am I? What do I have? I don't have anything. Like, how could God ever use me? And they kind of, and they're honest about it. That's honestly how they feel. Like, they just don't either know their gift, or they just don't know how God might ever want to use that. And I think it's important for us to understand as believers that not only do we each have at least one gift, but each of our gifts are important and indispensable in the body of Christ. And I don't use that word lightly. It's indispensable. Jesus needs every single one of us. If you go and read more of 1 Corinthians 12, which we don't have time to do right now, he begins to talk about the importance of all the individual parts as they come together in the body. Each of those parts have a function in the body. It's like if you took away the liver, it's like now my body doesn't function right. If you took away my eyesight, my body isn't functioning right. And he says whether or not they're visible parts of the body or hidden parts of the body, parts we can see or parts we can't see, and you can follow his illustration, each of them are indispensable. It's important. And I just wanted to highlight one verse. In verse 18, he says, but now God has placed each one of the parts in the body just as he wanted. Did you hear that verse? Let me say it again. God has placed each one of the parts in the body just as he wanted. Think about the implications of that statement. The sovereign God of the universe gave you exactly what he wanted you to have. He made you exactly the way he wanted you to be, and he placed you in his body in the exact place that he wanted you to be. Amazing. So we should never downplay our gifts. We should never downplay our role in the body of Christ. We should never be jealous of what somebody else has. We should never say, oh, I can't do that. I can't speak. I can't pray. I can't give. I can't serve. I can't play with kids. I can't change diapers. And feel sorry for ourselves when we instead need to be looking for what God has given us and then look for ways that we can plug ourselves into his body willingly and faithfully like a good steward. Because if we do, he's going to begin to use us. And we're going to have more and more opportunities to glorify him. We were given gifts so that we could use them to serve God for the common good of his body, of his church, of his kingdom. And I would even go as far to say this, that if God didn't intend for our gift to be used, why would he have given it to us? And if God didn't intend for our gift to be used, there'd really be no purpose for our lives anymore. Think about it like this. Would God allow us to live beyond our usefulness to him? I don't know. I scratch my head because we're talking about this in our Bible study we had the other day. We were talking about, like, does God really need us? At the end of the day, he created everything. He created all of us. Does he really need us? Well, probably the theological answer to that question is nope. He probably doesn't really need us, but yet he does use us. And so experientially, the answer would be yes, he does need each one of us plugged into the exact place that he's put us. Using our gifts and serving him. Because in his wisdom, he gave each of us exactly what we needed so that we could serve him. So as we close up here today, I just wanted to ask a question. If serving makes us more like Jesus, which I think we've seen that it does, and if serving brings glory to God, which I think we've seen that it does, and all believers are called to be milk dud, which I think we saw that we are. We all have gifts to serve. What are some of the reasons why people are not serving in His kingdom? Now, I know that many of you are, okay? And I'm not trying to downplay that at all. But if a person's not serving, why? Why are they not serving? I just have a few reasons that I thought of, and I'm maybe you'll be able to think of others later. But here's a few reasons why maybe people are not serving. Number one, maybe they don't think that their gift is important enough. Well, I think we've shot that one down today, haven't we? Or maybe they think that they don't have anything to offer. Well, that's not true. If God's gifted you exactly the way He wanted, then you have something to offer Him. What about this? They don't know where to serve. That's a big one, right? I don't know where to serve. I don't even see the place where I could fit in. And one of the bestest things that I love to do as a pastor is to answer that question with people. I love to talk with people and say, I see this in you, and I see this as a need. Let's put them together and make it happen. And I always love, so if that's you, if you're like, I don't know where to serve, I don't know where I'm needed, you know, maybe I'm new-ish here, or, you know, whatever, I want to serve, but I just don't know how, like, let's talk about that, and let's find out where we can serve, plug you in to serve, whether it's here in this church or out in the community somewhere. Let's find a place for you. And then here's another one, though. Serving is just not convenient. It doesn't fit into my schedule. Wow. Or here's another one. Serving's hard. It takes effort and commitment that I'm just not willing to give. Now, these are some reasons what I thought of, and you may have your own reason why if you're not already serving somewhere, you may have your own reason why. And I don't say any of these things to make you feel sorry for yourself or I don't want to guilt anybody into start serving in the kingdom. That's not it at all. Really, though, what I want you to say is, if any of these describe you, have you prayed about, have you considered and allowing the Holy Spirit to reveal to you where He might want you to serve? Because of all the things we've talked about, one last thing, and we'll close with this. Another thing, if you're not serving anywhere, you're missing out on a bunch of great stuff that Jesus wants to give you. You not only honor God, you encourage and bless other people who you're serving, and at the end of the day, honestly, you also receive encouragement and blessing by serving. And so I would strongly encourage you to pray about if you're not plugged in somewhere, if you're not serving, I would ask you, will you pray about where you might serve in the kingdom of God? And if you want to pray with somebody, I'd encourage you to find somebody to pray with. After our service, we do have people over here. And if you want to pray and say, hey, I'm ready. I'm ready to take that next step. I'm ready to find a place to serve. Will you pray with me and help me and ask for wisdom? Yeah, the answer is yes, I will do that. There's a whole bunch of people here who would also love to do that with you. So as we close, I think we got another song that we're going to sing. And I would encourage us, if I can just take a minute and just pray for us as a body, and then we'll sing a song, and then we'll get out there and we'll go serve the Lord. Father, I love you, and I'm looking at a bunch of people that love you too. And God, I know that there's a whole bunch of reasons why sometimes we we don't serve you. And yet I know that most of us have a willing heart to do it, and it's just maybe we just don't know how, or we don't know how to get involved, or whatever. Father, I would just pray that you, through your Holy Spirit, would speak to our hearts today, that you would bring in wisdom that we didn't have before, that you would bring in understanding and lighten our minds, that you would bring in a conviction that maybe if somebody out there, they know they need to get serving, so maybe bring a little conviction in their lives. And Father, I just pray that you'll protect us, because conviction sometimes sounds a lot like condemnation in our hearts. And I would pray against, in the name of Jesus, any condemnation that might be coming in anybody's heart or mind right now, that the devil or the enemy or the demons might be bringing any condemnation or guilt. I come against that in the name of Jesus. There is no condemnation for those of us who are in Christ Jesus. So, Father, we just don't want to serve out of guilt or condemnation or fear. Those are the things the devil wants. But we want to serve out of love and faithfulness and kindness. And we want our hearts to overflow with ways that we can serve in your kingdom. And whether we're a youngest kid in this room, or whether we're the oldest adult in this room, or anywhere in between, you have a place for us. And you have a gift for us to use in your kingdom. And it might be prayer. And it might be giving. And it might be changing diapers. We don't know, God, what you want us to do. Let's be sensitive and faithful to follow the leading of your Holy Spirit in our hearts and minds. And we pray all of this in Jesus' name, the one who we seek to live and be more like every day. Amen.